morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio for this morning's drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Welcome aboard, 520-790-2040. Join the conversation today. It's the number that our first guest of the hour, who will join us in just a second, Pastor Jeff Loxton, used to join us here in the phone green room. We have a live green room. We have a phone green room. For a healthy politics, a healthy community life to flourish, it needs reference points outside itself, reference points of truth and a conception of the common good. This is a religious philosopher, Hebrew University, Moshe Halbertal, an inspiration, part of an inspiration for why, for about a year now, I would say, we've been doing a few moments, a faith and culture segment with our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Loxton, here in the midst of all the politics, issues, news, policies, ideas. We take a few moments to zoom back out 50,000 feet, talk a little bit of faith and culture with our man of the cloth in shorts and a t-shirt. And when we are done with that, Supervisor Steve Christie, Republican, on the only Republican on either the City Council or the Pima County Board of Supervisors, is our guest in studio to talk about a number of issues. By the way, this Moshe guy also says when everything becomes political, that is the end of politics. I'll let that one sit, and you can think about it and agree, and let me know later. Pastor Jeff Loxton, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Zach. I'm excited about our conversation today.
The only regret that I have about having you on the phone is that I call you the man of the cloth in shorts and a t-shirt, but I can never actually tell what you're wearing anymore. So we're going to assume that you're wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah, and I think that's weird that you can see what I'm wearing and we're not even near each other.
Well, I put on the wrong color socks this morning, so I got to studio and went, oh, that's awkward. I meant to put on black socks, and I put on brown socks. So if you do see me in person today, yes, I know, it's the wrong color. Pastor Jeff, Gallup poll, let's kick off this way. The Gallup poll late March indicates that U.S. church membership dipped below 50% for the first time in a number of decades. Gallup first measured church attendance back in 1937. Membership at places of worship, and this is not just Christian churches. This actually looks at mosques, synagogues, churches, folks who are going to places of worship. It was 73% in 1937. It stayed pretty much near there for six decades before starting to dip in the 21st century. The figure was 58% for baby boomers, 50% for people in Generation X, 36% of millennials said they belong to a church. Generation Z is about the same number as millennials. You're the pastor of a church, but you have a church that people come to. What do you think about that number? What does it mean? Are you seeing that at your church? Help us make sense of what's going on here.
Yeah, and I think there's like a few different directions that conversation could take. But I think when you look at the trajectory from one facet of that conversation could have to do with what is each generation seeing from the generation that precedes it as it relates to one's faith or one's practice in faith. And a separate conversation has to do with the topic of membership itself. I'm not sure personally that membership is the right conversation to even be having. And the reason I say that is because when we think of churches should be open invitations to anyone. And the very idea, connotation behind membership is one of exclusivity, who's in and who's out. And I think that there's a reason for that, looking back at the original intent, but I don't think it works for the people that we are trying to relate to right now.
Are you seeing, what is it like being a pastor of a church here in our city of Tucson? Have you seen these trends play out in your church where we're looking at, you know, if you're a boomer and older? Again, 66% of folks, I think, born before 1947 say they belong to a church. Being a part of a church is a part of community. kind of the basic Protestantism that many say really drove American life, even if it was just surface level, Pastor, what it meant to be a part of a church, it was so much a part of being a part of community. It kind of went together. We see that disconnect now. But are you seeing those numbers reflected in your church, or are you looking at a different story?
No, I think...
Oh, we lost you there. Are you there?
Yeah, the numbers we were looking at in terms of those that would say that they are actively connected to a church is less than 10% in our city. But I also think that the opportunity that gives rise to seeing that change is that the needs in our community are greater. And so I think for those faith communities or even those NGOs, if you want to expand it to non-governmental organizations that are willing, the solution in a community at large, people want to get on board with that. People want to help with that. And so, yeah, it is less than 10% that I have seen that are connected, actively connected to a local church. We're also talking about mosques and synagogues here, but I also think because of the needs of the city, those who are looking to be on the solution side are seeing a different number.
Pastor, there's another thought piece on this in April, and I want to ask you this question, and we can change topics as we go to a break. It was an opinion piece in the New York Times, the title, "Can the Meritocracy Find God?" And it was interesting because the author actually said, look, in 2019, there's always this data coming out. I played the contrarian, he wrote, and said, I argue that the decline may be somewhat overstated. That we are, sure, we'll see a decline in lukewarm believers, very occasional churchgoers, that the core religious practice in the U.S. looks somewhat more resilient in his mind than the dire headline numbers might suggest. And I feel like in our conversations, Pastor Jeff, you're sort of there too in your thinking. I don't want to speak for you, but that's been my impression. He said, for this column, though, and this is the point I wanted to ask you about, I'll emphasize the negative. Even if there is a resilience in American religion, especially in evangelical Christianity, still the most numerically robust form of faith, it doesn't alter institutional faith's general weakness, its limited influence, its subordinate position to other personal affiliations, from partisanship to ethnic identity to sports or superhero fandom. A lot of pretty words in there, Pastor Jeff.
Right.
He's taking the negative side of the numbers that we're talking about here. Is he right? What would you say to that?
When you talk about the meritocracy, you're talking about people with skills and talents. I think the root of it is when it comes to faith, does faith work at the time that I need it in my life? Speaking just personally, I didn't feel like I had a need for the church. And then when I did, the question I wanted to ask was, will it fix my problem? And scriptures tell us that in the latter days, the love of many is going to grow cold. And I think with volatile political arenas, the community at large is very cynical about, especially churches that want to dig into that political narrative. Some are called to. I think it's a dangerous place to go, but the cynicism prevails, and that leaves people who are part of that meritocracy in a place where they're saying, I'm not sure I want to be a part of that in that arena. So, how do we give people an experience or connection to God in the time when their lives need it most? And I think that's the challenge at large.
Pastor Jeff, I promise one more question. Can these numbers be reversed? Should they be reversed? And what does the church have to do to be relevant. I think that word's overused. But what does the church have to do differently to re-engage an American community that says, like, I don't think that I need you in the same way that I used to?
I think with 9/11 and the circumstances related to 9/11 and also in the onset of COVID presents, the pandemic presents a different set of circumstances. Those were needs on a national scale where people were truly flocking to the church to to inquire what is going on. They were looking to the church for answers. And so, yeah, I think that they can change. I think people still see God apart from the church.
Pastor Jeff, you cut out there. Are you still with us?
But I think the thing that has connect with people at that place of deepest need and do it in ways that make sense to the people that are looking for those answers.
We're with Pastor Jeff Loxton this morning, our faith and culture contributor. What spurred our conversation to kick us off, 47% of Americans in a Gallup poll released late last month said they belong to a church, synagogue, or mosque in 2020, down from 50% in 2018. It's the first time in eight decades that Gallup has tracked this trend, that a majority of Americans do not belong to an institution of faith. And so we talk faith and culture with Pastor Jeff Loxton. That's a faith and culture topic. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up one more segment with Pastor Jeff Loxton. Community life, a healthy community life, needs points of reflection and outside of itself. It needs to go back up to that 30,000, 50,000 foot view. We try to do that a little bit every week here on the show. We'll be right back on 10:30 The Voice. Supervisor Steve Christie coming up at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
Trusted local news and talk. 10:30 The Voice.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429. Equal housing opportunity.
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in the Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
now open to you. The Arizona Sands Club is your new home away from home. Located inside the Lowell Stevens Football Facility, this private dining and lifestyle club is a culmination of a long-held goal to create a social gathering space within our university and community. Filled with Wildcat spirit against the backdrop of Arizona Stadium, call us today to learn how you can take advantage of our dining and meeting spaces for personal use, business purposes, and social events and celebrations. Call 621-8300.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
And we're back here in the 1030 The Voice studio this morning for our drive time hour today of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Joined in studio by our faith and culture contributor, Pastor Jeff Locks. And we take a few moments every week to take a step back and talk a little bit about faith, talk a little bit about culture, take some reference points outside of all the politics, policies, issues, and ideas that we hash out every week here on the show. If you missed our first segment, Pastor Jeff and I were talking about the latest numbers out of the Gallup poll held in March that show 47% of Americans say they belong to a church, synagogue, or mosque in 2020, down from 50% in 2018. It's the first time in 8 decades that Gallup has tracked this trend, that a majority of Americans do not belong to a church. So, of course, we asked our faith and culture contributor, what's going on there? What do we make of this? So that was our first segment. We also like to take some time, Pastor Jeff, and be a fly on the wall of what's going on at Hope City Church. What have you guys been talking about recently? What can you share with us this morning?
Yeah, you know, we were this last Sunday, we were talking about this word reflection and who is it that you look like in your life. We all tend to pattern ourselves or model ourselves after someone or something. And one of the people that was brought up was this person that not too many people know about, Sam Maloof. Is that a name you're familiar with, Zach?
It is not.
So Sam is a renowned craftsman who lived near our home in Southern California, and he was known for his rocking chairs, and I'm told that they sold for as much as 6 figures, if you can imagine that, and many of them have adorned offices of the presidential candidates, which is fascinating to me for a rocking chair.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were, it was just reminding me that a friend of mine, he was actually an apprentice under Sam Maloof and left the opportunity as an apprentice to go work for a union job at the time, obviously would have paid it more. But looking back, he regretted making that decision because he had the opportunity of a lifetime to truly learn from a master craftsman in an era where there's no one else like Sam, who's since passed. But you can see those things from Sam still to this day if you happen to visit his home in Altaloma, California. And the bridge we were making was Jesus is also a master craftsman, not just a woodworker, but one of the soul. And just trying to make that bridge or that connection to the people that were there on Sunday and those listening to our online stream is, what problems are you experiencing right now and who are you looking to for direction and guidance through those problems?
Yeah, and Pastor Jeff, and I love that story. That's crazy. And in the next election cycle, which is really upon us, I'm going to be watching for those rocking chairs in some of these presidential candidates' offices. That's an insane number, 6 figures a piece for a rocking chair. That's crazy. So you paused at a question. I'm assuming there was an answer on Sunday as you posed that to your congregation. How did you wrap it up?
You know, we've all probably been in that place where we've said, I've tried everything else. I might as well try and see if prayer will help me through this thing. But the question is, are you asking God, are you asking Jesus to guide you through those problems and acknowledging, well, at least for myself, there's a learning curve in trying to be able to discern that direction. But from Romans 10:13, the scriptures say, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And just, you know, giving people encouragement, hope in a despairing time to say whatever problems you're struggling with right now, whatever problems your family or friends may be trying to work through, they can ask God to help them through those problems, and then encouraging them to take a step of faith and just see what happens.
Pastor Jeff, you know, like I said at the beginning of the hour in this segment, we talk some culture, we talk some faith, we talk faith and culture. Again, try to look at those reference points outside of just the issues that we hash out on this show day to day, week to week, and always appreciate getting to be a fly on the wall of what you're sharing with your congregation over at Hope City Church. Pastor, anything of note this week or this month going on over at Hope City along the 22nd Street corridor right here in our community? Where can folks go to find out more about you or connect with you personally, or even, you know, be a part of what you're doing over there at Hope City?
Yeah, you can find us at HopeCityChurchTucson.com. And I think we've been mentioning over the last few segments that right now we're trying to assist the Tucson Neighborhood Food Pantry with toilet paper for the immediate patrons that they are serving. People might already know, but on Saturday mornings they also sell vegetables, and the sales from those vegetables enable the pantry to remain revenue neutral. So if you're on the 22nd Street corridor near Craycroft and 22nd, the veggies that are available there for a small price helps to allow the pantry to serve the community in a revenue neutral way. So please support the pantry.
That's amazing. There's lots of good work happening through and by Hope City Church. Where can listeners go to find out more about that? Do you have a website, a Facebook page, and how can people connect with you?
Yeah, HopeCityChurchTucson.com. You can find us there.
I was telling someone this week that, you know, I met someone who works for Interfaith Community Services, ICS, and there is so much good work being done under the surface by faith institutions in our community. You know, in the case of Interfaith, that would be synagogues and mosques and churches. So much going on doesn't always make the news, and I think it's good a little bit on this show to say, hey, there's good work happening. You don't always hear it, and sometimes that's the point, Pastor Jeff. I think most pastors don't want this to be front page news. That's not why you do it, but it's good work, and appreciate you doing it, and thanks for sharing some words of wisdom for weird times with us here on the show a few moments every week. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Zach.
Pastor Jeff, we'll see you next week. And that takes us to our bottom of the hour news break. When we come back in a few minutes, we'll sit down with Supervisor Steve Christie on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We'll talk what some have called the beginnings of a water war. We'll talk masks. Maybe we'll get to some border issues, how that impacts Pima County. Supervisor Steve Christie coming up in a few moments as we let Pastor Jeff go. Pastor Jeff, have a good one. See you next week and stay healthy.
Thank you, Zach.
Alrighty, that does it for us for this top of the hour here on 10-3. The Voice, 790-2040 is the number you can call and join us. Supervisor Steve Christie is in the green room. By the way, I saw someone mention this in their newsletter, and I thought it was really cool. We had a really, I think, intense, but in a good way, conversation between Rex Scott, Supervisor Scott, Councilmember Paul Cunningham last week about the water issues here in our community. If you haven't listened to that, go back. It's last week, a few podcast episodes up. It was a kind of a debate is what it turned out to be. I thought it was really good radio and really informative. So we'll talk about that a little bit with Supervisor Christie here in just a minute. All right, Tom Callahan making the magic happen on the other side of the glass. Spin us away, sir. We'll be right back.
A Bloomberg Money Minute and CBS News at the bottom of every hour. 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Hey there, Ari here with the Marinas team at Nova Home Loans. We share Zach's passion on Tipping Point of shaping yours and our community's best possible future. If that looks like purchasing a home in 2021, we want to be your partner in choosing the program that is the best possible decision for your financial and family goals. Call me at 878-7518 and let me know you heard us on Tipping Point to get started.
Ariel Ari Barrera, NMLS ID, 1982127. Nova Home Loans, NMLS number 3087, BK0902429. Equal housing opportunity.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live?
Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to share the imagery of America in the Wyeths, three generations of works from the Bank of America collection. Artistic styles vary across time and place, but the bond of family unites them, and the shared spirit of human experience and American traditions. Timed ticket reservations required. Visit TucsonMuseumOfArt.org for more information and to support the Tucson Museum of Art.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome back into the 1030 The Voice studios for this drive time hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, joined now in studio by Supervisor Steve Christie, representing District 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you, Zach. Good to be here. And I just have to say, I picked up my latest copy of Biz Tucson, and I think it was really Zach Yenser's Biz Tucson, because every page I turned, I saw your mug in it, and long articles about all the terrific accomplishments you've done with all of the civic activities that you're participating in. And I just want to congratulate you on that and say good job and
I appreciate
a job
it.
Well done. Also, just to say something to Pastor Jeff Loxton. I've known him for at least 6 years with my being supervisor in Vail. I got to know him very, very well through the Vail Chamber, which yeah. I attended regularly with his leadership there. And what a terrific guy, and what a great asset to our community, and also to your show, because I know he's a regular, but I just have a great deal of respect and admiration for him and for all he's done, not only as a pastor, which obviously he's extraordinarily talented at and committed to, but also as a community leader. He did a great deal of hard formational work in the Vail Chamber, yep. and it's turning into be something that his legacy will be remembered as his work there.
Outstanding. I appreciate you saying that. He's texting me almost as we talk right now, saying how much he appreciates you.
Oh, that's
so
nice to hear.
So
too.
Unplanned. You mm-hmm. both are appreciating each other on the air, and I think he's probably listening because he's excited that you're coming on. So we appreciate him on the show as well as our faith and culture contributor. And yeah, he's a lot of people don't know he's a business guy.
Sure,
And he's done a
very
good job at it.
That and yep. kind of a nice segue having a cleric of his capacity on, and then me, just a former car salesman and a politician now, and all of the most admired positions by the community.
I think we have Pastor Jeff Loxton on because a lot of people think that it's the same thing. Politicians, car salesmen, and pastors, but Pastor Jeff proves that.
Well, there is hope for me. I'm glad. I was going to go to law school after this. So.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. A great way to start a conversation that is now going to shift, or as some of my listeners have come to appreciate, we're going to pivot this conversation.
Well, I hadn't heard that one before.
I know. I've stopped saying it. I got public pressure to stop saying big words. So to a serious, a very serious conversation. I don't know if you heard last week, Supervisor. I had Supervisor Scott on and Councilmember Paul Cunningham on from the city at the same time to hash this issue out about water. And the day after that, the city council voted unanimously to create a notice of intent to raise water rates for unincorporated residents by up to 50%. What do you make of all this? Would the county raise sewer rates on city? I mean, where does this go from here?
Well, this is a very troubling and problematic issue. And it's being cloaked by the city of Tucson under and behind a certain type of a curtain to really get to the root core of why they're doing this and what is motivating their reasoning behind it. Just to back up a little bit, what they're trying to do, of course, is to raise the water rates on those who live outside the city limits or in unincorporated jurisdictions, which I think actually is somewhere between 35% and 45% of the entire population of Pima County. And their rationale, or at least one rationale that I did hear from one of the city council members, is that by doing so, they are trying to incentivize those residents to allow Pima County to be annexed by those boundaries of the city of Tucson. So what it basically boils down to is their justification is that if the residents in unincorporated Pima County don't like being told that they're going to pay more water rates, they have a way to get around that, and that is simply to let the city of Tucson annex them. And then, of course, they're saying this is a great idea, the city of Tucson saying this, because there will be more state revenue funds available for the city of Tucson and other jurisdictions. Well, that's another argument in and of itself, but that's one of the layers of what is behind this is to basically provide a not a carrot but a stick to get folks to allow for annexation. The other issue, of course, is that there's this conception on the, I believe, on the part of the city of Tucson City Council that everybody who lives in unincorporated Pima County is wealthy and rich, and that because of that they can A, afford higher water rates, and B, with the surplus that's going to be created by charging the higher water rates to the unincorporated residents, that can be supplemented to support those within the city of Tucson who do not have the kind of income or the lifestyle or the money, and that their rates can be supplemented and enhanced by those who live in unincorporated Pima County. And then the third thing is, and it was very obvious by one of my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors, she said very clearly that this is a very good method, in so many words, of slowing down development and growth, and to inhibit it and to stop residential communities being built or businesses from coming in. So it's a three-pronged type of approach that the city council is working: annexation, supplementing low-income people with the excess for their water rates, stopping growth and development. And what's going to happen is that unfortunately, this has not been the first scenario of this nature in Pima County. And Mr. Huckleberry, our county administrator, he and I obviously don't have agreement on all issues, but I do know, after working with him and observing him for going on six years now, that he has the knowledge and the capacity and the wherewithal to be able to do certain things legally to counteract this measure by the city of Tucson. The agreement goes back to 1977 that the city of Tucson was going to provide water for the region. And in return, the Pima County was going to provide sewer and reclaimed water and reclamation to the rest of the region as well. It's kind of a balancing effect. Well, if the city of Tucson is going to raise rates to those who live in unincorporated Pima County, there is a retaliatory possibility that Pima County could raise the sewer rates for those who live in the city of Tucson. So it's not a good situation. It's not win-win, and it's going to create another adversarial relationship matter between the city of Tucson and Pima County that's going to result in water wars. And I also, there is a organization who is very supportive of what the city of Tucson was doing. I believe it's called Save Our Water, or Our Water Tucson. And they lavished praise on the members of the city council who supported this approach, and as well as to a couple of my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors for their approach. And then they went on to thank the sponsors of this organization, one of which was the Socialist Democratic Party of America. So it has some rather, to me, in nefarious undertones of this whole process that are not going to end well for a lot of people. And I'm hoping that the city of Tucson will withdraw its intentions and realize what they're playing with that could result in a bad situation for all of us.
We're with Supervisor Steve Christie. I have one more question on this. I do, after the break, want to get also to masks, which is an issue, the governor's mask mandate, and maybe some border issues. But a couple of things to tie a bow on this. You know, I thought it was interesting, to your point, the city's own Citizens Water Advisory Committee voted by a large majority against this plan. And I think their big thing was, we don't see this encouraging annexation. So even if this was an attempt to solve revenue issues, there's not consensus that it will. I have two quick questions for you, and then we have a caller, if you don't mind, Supervisor Christie. That number one is, there were two supervisors on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Supervisor Grijalva and Supervisor Hines. You were in the majority vote, which happens, I think, once every 4 years, so I wondered how that felt for you. It's not a serious question, Supervisor.
Well, I'd like to comment on that when you're done. Yeah,
but real quickly, because I want to get to our caller on the line. Why did two of the five supervisors vote with the city on this?
I think the main reason is both of their supervisorial districts are mostly in the city, so it would benefit their constituents. And real quickly, after the vote was taken, 3-2, I asked Chair Bronson, I said, is this a whole new sunrise, a brand new day of collaboration with Bronson, Scott, and Christie, the new majority on the board? Or is it a complete rupture in the wall of resistance that has always been the Democrat Party with the majority on the board? And she declined to comment.
For sure. For obvious reasons, right, Supervisor Christie? We'll get to our caller, and I want to ask my last question. 90 days is a review period. This was not a vote by the council. This was a vote to create a notice of intent to review it and talk about it for 90 days, is kind of my understanding. What does the conversation between the city and county look like for the next 90 days? What's that three-month process look like for the county who's opposed to this move?
Well, I would say that it would be encouraging to see some kind of an outreach by both entities to each other to say, hey, we got to really look at this and slow this thing down, because this is not going to end well, as I said. We did have an historic joint meeting not too long ago between the City of Tucson City Council and the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Perhaps another joint meeting would be applicable and appropriate, and if that was the case, I would have a lot of popcorn ready for buttering, and I'd just sit back and watch the whole thing.
Let's wrap this up. We'll talk masks and potentially border in our second segment, but let's get to Rick on line two. Rick, thanks for waiting for a few moments as we wrapped up here in studio, but glad to have you on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Real quick, in the 77 water agreement, I was educating myself by talking to a group of people that were really sort of involved. But the original intent of all that, if I'm not mistaken, was to form a regional water district. It also took legislative action by the state to allow Pima County to technically become a water provider, if you will, whether it's to reclaim water or sewer. And if I'm not mistaken, Pima County is the only one in the state that has that authority. Therefore, if there's going to be a potential resolution to this, maybe we go back to the legislature and ask them to force an opportunity upon going back to the discussion of a regional water district. There Rick, you go, gentlemen.
Rick, I appreciate that question. Your thoughts, Supervisor Christie? The city, at least Councilmember Cunningham, when he was on the show, he disputed the county's assessment that that 1977 IGA set the city of Tucson as a regional water provider. The city is trying to say either A, no, or B, it's a new day. We're done with that. Your thoughts, Supervisor Christie, on Rick's call?
Well, I think definitely that the idea for a regional system of both sewer and water is an essential point of discussion, and it should be analyzed as to what the original IGA is. And again, perhaps this would be a very strong topic of discussion in another historic meeting between the City of Tucson City Council and the Pima County Board of Supervisors to actually discuss that.
We're with Supervisor Steve Christie this morning, Republican representing District 4 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors. We're going to go to our final break of the hour, first break of this conversation. When we come back, lots more. Never a dull conversation when it comes to local jurisdictions in Tucson and Southern Arizona these days. Lots to talk about. We'll be back on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
What are the community stories that define us? Talking about these stories are what Tipping Point is about, and what Storyteller PR, a public relations firm in Tucson, has been doing meaningfully for years in our community. Storyteller PR activates publicity, social media, and event production to establish and strengthen the reputation of Southern Arizona brands and organizations. What story do you need to tell? Visit us at storytellerpr.com to learn more. You love Decibel Coffee Works, the coffee of Tipping Point and the Yenser household, for their quality roasted coffee and beans. Now they're giving you even more reasons. Open now, the Scratch Kitchen at the MSA Annex will provide quick and easy breakfast and lunch with vegetarian and vegan options available to enjoy with your drink. Visit the MSA Annex right off the I-10 and Cushing to be one of the first to try. 267 South Avenida del Convento.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's 40 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
The Men in Black are back. FC Tucson is our city's own professional soccer team, featuring talent from around the country and the world. They're ready to get back to business and a winning season for Tucson fans. Each one of the 14 home games this season will be uniquely curated and feature the sights, smells, and sounds of Tucson, but with the intensity of a playoff berth at Keno Stadium. Tickets now on sale. Head to fctucson.com to get yours for an exciting season of high-flying football. fctucson.com.
It's a new year, and if you're like me and my family, we're thinking a lot about our financial plan for 2021. Savings, reducing debt, growing wealth, planning for the future. It's a lot, and often really confusing. If that's you too, give Jason Robinson at MassMutual a call to set up a plan for your money that meets your goals. Jason and his team have decided to reduce their fees during this first quarter to make sure that anyone who wants a strategy and accountability can get it. Call 274-3749 to get started and tell them Zach at Tipping Point sent you. Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. We're back here in the 1030 The Voice studios. I think we're only going to get to one more topic, but it's an important one. It's one that you have been advocating a certain way for, Supervisor Steve Christie, Republican representing District 4. on the Pima County Board of Supervisors, and that is mask mandate. So here is how it is in my head, and if I'm getting my facts messed up, please correct me, Supervisor. The governor came out a number of weeks ago and put out an executive order saying that that localities could no longer require a mask mandate. The city and counties around the state challenged that and basically won that challenge, and said that really Governor Ducey had two methods to make what he wanted to have happen happen. One was an executive order, which doesn't have teeth. The other was to have the Arizona Department of Health Services say that, and that would have teeth, said Attorney General Brnovich. Doug Ducey said, oh, I'm not going to push it anymore, and instead signed some legislation a number of days ago that in a few months would allow businesses to opt out. And I think the governor said, we'll let Pima do what Pima County wants to do. You made a motion to withdraw the county's mask mandate. And of course,
the second it
died. There was no second, and so it didn't go forward. I want to ask this question and tell us where it goes from here. What is the issue with masks? Why is this still a problem 14 months in? Why are we still hashing this out?
Well, that's what I've been trying to find out for the last 14 months. I understood maybe from the beginning there might have been some validation of mask wearing. What it is, I'm not sure of, if it ever existed. But I have to say that I'm very disappointed in Governor Ducey's reluctance to get involved in this issue, because it's done nothing but created confusion and animosity in our community. Businesses are contacting our office all the time. What do we do? What are we supposed to be doing? Where are we going to be in violation potentially? And what is this going to do as far as fines or shutting down our business? And the disappointment that I hold for Governor Ducey is that he could clarify this in such a easy and ready manner by the stroke of a pen. He could have taken that course through the Arizona Department of Health that the attorney general quite candidly provided him that pathway on a silver platter. He said on one side that the face mask resolution can remain, but if the governor so chooses, he can go this route to end it. And Governor Ducey, for whatever reason, I have to express deep disappointment. The one time I could have really used some support on the Board of Supervisors, and you made reference to me making the motion to rescind the face mask requirement, that the Board of Supervisors has the power and authority to rescind. I made that motion not once, but twice. And both times, it died for lack of a second. And it would have been just an easy solution to this whole problem if Governor Ducey had stood up and said, we're going to end this confusion, we're going to end this animosity, we're going to end this foolishness, and we're going to make it so that the face mask requirements no longer exist. So that, to me, was a huge setback in that regard. But then, of course, we have other legislation is coming through that it takes 90 days to go into effect, and so for 90 days, Pima County and the Board of Pima County Health Department have said it's not in effect. So we've got 90 days, and we're going to keep it in effect.
So that's the clarification then for businesses listening. That's the clarification.
Well, that's the clarification.
It's the way it is for 90 days more.
It also begs the question, what kind of enforcement is there going to be? Because there has been no enforcement. There's no one, no business, no entity that has been fined or penalized in any manner regarding the face mask requirements. And so it kind of sticks its finger in the face mask requirements eye anyway, because it's not being enforced.
And I think honestly, that's where I'm a little bit lost on the issue is, I don't have the exact numbers, but a majority of businesses and people are wearing masks. No matter what jurisdiction is saying what, most businesses are still asking for it. Most people are wearing it. I don't necessarily, the fight to enforce it when it can't be backed up is one fight, but people are wearing masks. There's a fight to stop wearing masks, but most people still want. I don't understand why this is football. Why is this football?
At best, it should be rescinded completely and lifted. The face mask requirement is a foolish, unnecessary imposition on the ability for people to conduct their own lives and to make their own choices. At very worst, it should be voluntary on the part of businesses and customers. If businesses want to keep the face mask requirement in force for their employees and their customers, that's their business. It's also my business to be able to say, well, if you're going to do that, I'm going to go somewhere else, or you are doing that, I'm going to patronize you. But obviously, this has been such a divisive and adversarial situation where we're pitting neighbors against neighbors and friends against friends, and companies are having to mandate to their employees that you have to enforce this and become face mask police, and there's been confrontations. And I know some restaurants and some restaurant owners that anecdotally that you'd be familiar with as well, that have said there have actually been situations where the confrontation between employees and customers has gotten so desperate that the police have had to be called to stop this kind of confrontation, and that's just not fair to either the customer or the employee.
So to close us out, Supervisor Christie, just to clarify then, in 90 days, the legislation that Governor Ducey just signed goes into place, which allows businesses to opt out of local municipalities' requirements. So to make it quick, in 90 days, Tucson and Pima County's mask mandate, it will not be able to be enforced in any way.
I would imagine that would be the case. However, knowing how the goalposts have been consistently and constantly pushed back by the Pima County Department of Health as to how we can rescind the face mask requirements, I wouldn't be surprised if they come up with something else to try to keep it enforced.
Supervisor Christie, as always, thank you for your time with us on the program and for taking the time with us and sharing us your point of view, and we appreciate it.
Appreciate being here. Looking forward to the next time.
As always, for sure. About a month from today, I think.
Great.
Whatever it's going to be. That does it for our show today here on Tipping Point. Hugh Hewitt coming up next. Bill Buckmaster after that. Tomorrow on this program, we'll spend the majority of the hour with TUSD Superintendent Dr. Gabe Trujillo. Catch up on what's going on in our schools here, Southern Arizona's largest school district. And we'll also catch up with Devin Underwood, Workforce Pivots. Let's get Tucson's employees and employers back to work well. Tucson, thanks for listening to us today. We'll be back same time, same place. Until then, stay safe and healthy out there.